How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com. Sign up. Join the community. And plus, we got a 7-day free trial. So.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely great to be with you guys today. And I got to say this, I got my volume turned up a little louder than I usually do. And the intro got me a little bit. I was like, yeah, I'm ready to go. I don't know if it's the pumpkin spice coffee I'm drinking. I don't know if this fact I've already got laundry done and whatever. But I think it's because I'm here with Ant and the 49ers cut back. The coach approach is back. How we doing today, Ant? Uh-oh, he froze up. See? Like, that's where it is. The show is so good. I'm going to pull him down. Hopefully, we'll get him back. But, like, he froze up because the show was just so fire. We'll get him back. This is the Coach Approach, ladies and gentlemen. And what we do every single Thursday, we started this. This is a new show that we've been doing this year, started with this season. We're going to go over two things. Number one, what we saw on tape from the previous week against the Seahawks, the loss, which sucks. Shout out to Invaders. It takes me all week to get over a loss. Man, that's us too, bro. It's rough. R-U-F-F. It's just what it is. But the first part, we're going to talk about the game last week, some things we saw on the coach's tape, the all 22, the end zone angles, all those things that we didn't notice perhaps during the game. And then the second half of the show, what adjustments do we want to see moving forward, offensively, defensively, perhaps special teams, whether it's personnel changes? And I kind of got the list that I had for changes that needed to be made kind of got dispelled or wet blanketed by Kyle Shanahan in his last presser, where he was like, no, we're not changing the running back rotation. No, we're not putting in D winners for Devondre Campbell. No, we're not changing things. So not a lot of major changes, but I think both Ant and I both will be coming up with some of those. Want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs. You guys are the best. Appreciate you guys. What's up, RTP? We got the cutback. And again, if you guys haven't done so already, you got to go hit subscribe. 49ers Cutback, wherever you watch, listen, download, whatever. Ant's the freaking man. We're just waiting to get him back. We'll get him back soon. If not, I'll jump into my notes. But thank you for all the hashtag CCs. Look at this, Vince. It says, love seeing the simultaneous Chapman and Cutback notifications. Top tier. Hey, man, I'm pretty damn picky on who I record with. I think you guys know that. Wayne's one of the besties, and he's been doing it for a long time. But Ant, this was just something that we had to do. This is just something we had to do. Moon Man, what's up, buddy? He says, John, after watching the film, Brockport is not seeing the feels good, not seeming like he feels good, leaving the pocket way too early, receiving's running open. He's just not patient. That is by far one of the takeaways. And it's not just my takeaway. You know, we talked a little bit about yesterday. Greg Cassell, one of the all-time like draft film guys, he came out, basically said the same thing on 95.7. Might have been KNBR. I apologize if I was wrong on whatever station it was, but whatever. Like, Brock left a lot out there. Now, he's had to run and escape the pocket so much because two out of five of your offensive linemen are just not good. But that's been an issue. And I will say this as well. When players play, you've got to trust them. When Brock Purdy didn't have Christian McCaffrey for the first, what, seven or eight games this year, he refused to check down to Jordan Mason, just absolutely refused. He'd look him dead in the eye, see that he's uncovered, and then go to the next progression or run. Like, he just refused to acknowledge Jordan Mason's presence in the run game. Keep in mind, Jordan Mason has the highest catch percentage on the team currently. I know it's a very small sample size, but catch per target, Jordan Mason is number one on the team right now. Number one. He refused to throw it to him. Well, this week, you got Eric Saubert out there running scot-free in the end zone. Brock Purdy refuses to throw it to him. He threw it to him at one time on that super hot route where they blitzed six, and we had two unblocked guys, and he just freaking, boom, put it out there. Saubert caught it. But Brock is definitely playing favorites. There's no doubt about that. And if he doesn't trust you, he's not throwing to you. He's just not going to do it, which is crazy. I think I call it the Ronnie Bell effect, because he kept throwing to Ronnie Bell until it was like, man, this guy's costing us games and just dropping everything and is a terrible player. I'm just not going to throw it to him anymore. Now when Ronnie Bell goes out there, Brock Purdy won't even look his way. He won't even look at him. Doing the same thing to Eric Saubert, did the same thing to Jordan Mason. And so a lot of times the scheme, it's working. Players are open in the end zone. There's a reason why George Kittle leads all tight ends with touchdown receptions. And we run the exact same program with Eric Saubert, and he's wide open to the end zone. You got to give him a chance. And I know that sucks, but that's where it is. So, yeah, Brock's had some major adjustments this year. Now, Kyle Shanahan came out in the presser yesterday and said, I feel like Brock's playing at the exact same level. It's different. It's fewer checkdowns. It's fewer checkdowns and first read throws. That's what it is. It's Brock's getting to his third read, scrambling, not trusting his eyes, running out of the pocket, which I like a lot of those things, but I really wish he would learn to mitigate and just trust the system more. It's crazy. It's almost like all the talk of, oh, he's a system quarterback. Oh, he just dinks and dunks and all that stuff. It's like he's trying to prove he deserves this $60 million contract. That's just not the world we want to be in. Like, yeah, he's going to get the $60 million contract. That's not going to change. But he leads the NFL in air yards. That's not a Shanahan way. And it shouldn't be a way. Trust the people that your team put out there. Now, that doesn't mean criticism shouldn't be on the people who are out there playing. Rafael, horrible management of the roster. Saubert sucks. We had to play more at tight end too. No use of Jordan Mason. You're right. We have four tight ends on the roster. Jake Tonchis, special teamer only. Brayden Willis, special teamer only. I think he's back on the practice squad now. But, like, you've got tight ends that you could use in those spots. We got Jalen Moore running routes. It was a chip route. He, you know, he cheap blocked and then released out to flats. We got a 310-pound guy releasing to the flats. What are we doing? What are we doing? And yeah, I think there are some major issues with this roster. Tight end two has been an issue the entire offseason. 49ers tried to go get Brock Wright, got blocked by the Lions. Lots of tight end options were available in the draft. Just completely, not. We're going to draft multiple guards. And then cut one of them. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's frustrating. And, you know, one of the themes that I've held consistently and what made the 49ers kind of one of the special gems in the NFL is this meritocracy approach. Look, if Jordan Mason beats out Ty Davis Price, that's who we're going with. I don't care if third round pick, undrafted free agent. Who's the better player? That has not permeated the last two offseasons. Really hasn't. You cut a guy like DeJon Jameson, that dude's should have been on a roster. You cut a guy, even Samuel Womack, that dude's playing top 10 corner level and one of the best special teamers in the NFL, had been the entire time. Nick Sorensen hated him, ran him out of town. Like, we have the worst special teams unit in the NFL, and we let that guy go. Cody Schrader, I'd take Cody Schrader over Isaac Grindo, and it's not even close. Tight end two. Yeah, I mean, we don't have the tight end two, three, and four are bad. But, like, if you're not even going to play your tight end three when Kittle's out, why is he on the roster? Like, it's break glass in case of emergency. Meanwhile, you're telling me John Feliciano's not activated. Meanwhile, you're telling me, like, we need these damn roster spots. And speaking of roster spots, none's more important than the man himself. Ant, we're back, buddy. How we doing?
Not great. Internet just went done. As soon as the show started, internet gone. Had to go through the whole process of getting it back up. But I'm here now. So that was very interesting. It was great until literally you said, here's the show. And then it just... Thanks, Xfinity. Hey, man. You're wonderful.
I was saying how great, you know, I had the volume turned up extra loud, and so the intro music got me a little bit extra today, and so that's all it did. It just knocked out your internet, so that's what it is. So we're going through a couple things. I talked a little bit about how Brock Purdy, little hesitant to throw what he was seeing, how he's not trusting guys like Eric Saubert, even though he was open in the end zone, different things like, are you frozen again, Ant? This guy, he's got the smile. Xfinity, how dare you? How dare you? That's okay. We'll get Ant back. We're just going to keep working. And it's kind of like, you know, this is what it is. Whenever you got a stud, you got to get him in for what you can. And that's Ant with 49ers cutback. So whenever his internet gets working, which I hope it does, I've been in those situations before. Monkey Boy says, you know, I want more cowing. But he keeps making mistakes. Then he gets concussed. Hopefully this offseason does wonders for him. Man, he was getting chances. Not a lot. But, you know, Jacob Cowan gets out there for his first play. Offensively, makes a hellacious block. Like, the problem with Jacob Cowan isn't routes. It's alignment. Does he know all the motions of where to line up so you don't get a penalty like Juwan James did? And then can you block? If he can check those two boxes, everything else he could do. He can run the routes. He can catch the ball. He's explosive, whatever else. Well, his first play, he gets out there on offense, throws a great block. It was awesome. But then got concussed in special teams because special teams is special teams. That's what it is. So I guess, yeah, it's what it is. Put Mason at tight end. Have him do a shallow crossers. I wish that Purdy won't throw it to him. Right here, we release Latu. Great. Now, who do we replace him with? Nobody. Jake Tonjes, but we won't let him play. We won't let Jake Tonjes play. Why is he on the roster? He plays special team. I wonder how many special team snaps he had. Let's look this up. Let's look for the great Tonjes. We'll sort this. He played 13 special team snaps. Yeah, so, you know, 13 out of 14, pretty good. He's done decent, but not great. So, like, you have these guys that are special team specialists, but they're not even that good at that. That's the problem. That's why I get so pissed whenever you cut a freaking great punt returner in DeShawn Jameson. You cut Samuel Womack, who's one of the best gunners and gunner protectors in the NFL, and you struggle at both those. That's counted for two turnovers so far this year for us. Like, we're just giving them away. Right here. Yeah. Invader, I was wondering what happened to it. Yeah. The internet, he's going to be popping in and out. Hopefully we get that thing. But the good news is, I don't know if this is good news. Y'all got to listen to me, and I've got way too many notes. So we going to be all right. Right here. Dave, Ant's internet today is as reliable as the Niners have been all year. It's weird because the Niners have not been reliable. Obviously they're 5-5. They are literally the average baseline of what it means to be an NFL team. They're right smack dab in the middle. You've given away a lot of games that you shouldn't have. But, like, it's weird just to be average, and everybody is calling for the skies falling, which if you're in the Bay Area, it actually feels like that because it seems like it's just going to rain and rain and rain and rain moving forward. But, like, and I'm not saying be happy with mediocrity. Please do not take that as that. But, like, if you look across the NFL landscape, and gosh, it's funny, I spent almost all morning on social media arguing with people over Ben Johnson. And so let me say this. Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, is awesome. I think he's a damn good coach. If I could hire any head coach that is available to become a head coach, he'd be number one. Does that mean you take him over Shanahan? God, no, it does not. Not for me, it doesn't. And I know a lot of people it would. But, like, people don't understand, like, what happens in the NFL. Like, you look at these coaches all across whatever. You don't fire coaches for going 500. You don't fire coaches when you were in the Super Bowl last year. You don't fire coaches for that.
Thank you, no. The Casio G-Shock, thanks to its legendary toughness and timekeeping autonomy, it's no secret why the mighty G-Shock has earned its place on the wrist of weekend warriors, first responders, and militaries all over the world. But there's levels to this stuff, and there's a little-known collection of top-shelf G-Shock watches made for folks who crave the very best for everything in life. It's called the MRG. This flagship line of G-Shock watches takes the most cutting edge of tech G-Shock has to offer and blends it with the highest levels of traditional Japanese craftsmanship. We're talking about hybrid titanium and Kobarian case construction with artisanal armor-like flourishes, all honed like the edges of a samurai sword. Every beloved reference in the G-Shock collection gets coveted MRG treatment. From the original square case digital reference from 1983 to the beloved analog Frogman dive watch, all the way up to the newest fan favorite, the MRG B2100, with its octagonal bezel and its wild interlocking beams dial. Discover the full range this holiday season at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next G-Shock order.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
This is a Madden kind of video game, your first or your last Ricky Bobby type stuff. I don't buy into that. The 49ers have had sustained success. And if 5-5 is the low point of your franchise, since 2017. Well, those first 2 years were rough. Since 2019, that's pretty damn good. We applaud Mike Tomlin for going 500, not having losing records all the time, yet we want to fire Kyle Shanahan. And I know somebody's out here like, I don't applaud Mike Tomlin for that. I applaud him for the 2 Super Bowl wins whenever he first got there. Well, he didn't build that roster. He didn't build that. He inherited that and was able to win. Shanahan built this. He built it. And then people are, I know, are going to sit there and say, well, if you're going to give him credit for building it, you got to give him credit for being 5-5. That's fair. That is a fair criticism. And like, it's weird whenever teams look at, or whenever people look at these other coaches, whether it's Andy Reid or Ben Johnson or whoever the new hot name is. Remember when everybody wanted, man, we should have kept DeMeco Ryans. Man, we should have kept Mike McDaniel. We should have hired it. Like, these were all comments that I got. And I'm not here to say they're all wrong. I'm here to say they're all wrong. They were all wrong. They were all wrong. You look at where Mike McDaniel is now. How's that working out, guys? How is that? He's 4-6. How's that working out? The Houston Texans, they're 7-4. And yeah, they're promising, but man, they've taken a huge step back. Huge step back. Now, hopefully they keep winning. They're in the worst division in all of the NFL. But like, you don't know what you're going to get. And it's like that Family Guy clip where they went, oh, we got Ant back. Here we go. What's up, Ant? No worries, bro. Dude, no worries. You showed up at perfect time because we were talking Family Guy. Yeah, the whole fire Shanahan hire new coach reminds me of the boat versus the mystery box scene. I don't know if you've seen it, where Lois and Peter win something and they win a boat. And then the sales game show guy goes, or you could have whatever's in the mystery box. And you know, Peter goes through his thing like, whoa, Lois. Now a boat's a boat. But the mystery box could be anything. Hell, it could even be a boat. Like, Shanahan is what teams hope you're offering. Like, that's what everybody wants. And if you did let go of Shanahan, every single team would prefer to have Kyle Shanahan over Ben Johnson. Every single team, except for a few of these fans. So, I'm sorry, you came back at the worst possible point. Can you weigh in on this Kyle Shanahan, fire Shanahan, Ben Johnson, whatever conversation?
Yeah, I just don't see the 49ers ever firing Kyle Shanahan, at least not in the foreseeable future, because you don't fire coaches that go to NFC championships consistently and go to the Super Bowl and give yourself an opportunity to win. Really, that's what ownership wants, is they want a relevant product that has an opportunity to win year in and year out. Kyle Shanahan is one of those guys. So to me, it doesn't make any sense to move on from Kyle Shanahan. I think it's just a frustration for people when they see the team not performing to the level that they expect them to perform. And so that's where you're at. But I don't see it happen. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why you would finally get a coach that's a top five coach and then fire him to get what could be a top five coach. We don't know. Ben Johnson's a good offensive coordinator, but is he a good head coach?
Yeah, we don't know. And again, people are like, well, I want somebody that's going to win it all. Go watch the NFC Championship game last year. Guess who the 49ers beat with a 17-point lead at the half? Who did the 49ers come back and beat? It was Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's never been to the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean he's a bad coach. I think he's awesome. I think he is awesome. But here we go. Keep Kyle. Fire his ego. Ah, there you go. I'm weird. I'm not anti-Kyle ego. I think that's one of the things that kind of makes him who he is. I've worked for some megalomaniac coaches, head coaches in my past. Now, would I want my children playing for all of them? No. But if you give me a coach that gives an advantage to the players on game day, I'll take that. I believe Kyle Shanahan does that. Has it been executed correctly? No. But you go out there and you watch the 49ers defensive tape, you watch the 49ers special teams tape, then you watch the offensive tape, it's pretty damn clear which one is excelling continuously, and it's pretty damn clear which one is failing continuously. The answer is 2 out of 3. Doesn't mean Kyle Shanahan's amazing, but we're still second in yards. We're still up there in EPA. We're still top 10 in points. We're still whatever. Now, Ben Johnson's won, and he's the new hot, flashy toy, but we haven't seen that. So let's step back. We're here to do one thing, Coach. It's called the Coach Approach. Walk me through something you saw on the tape last week that perhaps you missed live or you thought was worth sharing to our audience.
I think first off, it was how many missed opportunities they had in the running game. I mean, the 49ers missed some opportunities for absolute explosive plays because of a array of things. But when things are going wrong.
When things are going wrong.
Explosive runs all over the place.
Sorry, you cut out for a second. We got you back. We got you back. We got you. You're good, Ant.
So, yeah, I don't know. Sorry about that. We got a shaky thing going on here.
It's the 49ers season,
yeah,
baby.
The run game is. Yeah, it is. My internet problems are emblematic of the 49ers season, where it's good, then it's bad, then it's terrible, then it's good again. Yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now. But it's really frustrating to see the run game not go, because you'll have a Jake Brendel miss block that would have had an explosive run, or you'll have a Colton McKivitz, or you'll get somebody on the edge like Eric Saubert or Kyle Juszczyk, or even Christian McCaffrey missing a hole, or Jordan Mason not making an extra move where he could have got more yardage. It's just emblematic of the entire season in the run game. And I thought last week they could have had some explosive plays and they just really missed out.
Yeah. There was just a lot. And Shanahan even talked about, you know, one of the main issues of this entire game was just, man, there were no big runs. There were no explosives. Here's Kyle talking about that.
I think we didn't break a big one today. I mean, last time versus them, I think we had a 174-yarder and 138-yarder. Today it was some solid running, but no big ones. They did a good job not letting us get through their secondary. But when you don't get a big one, it's tough to get those yards.
And I think, you know, you were averaging about 4 yards a clip. Christian McCaffrey about 3 yards a clip. It was just, I felt like the inside runs were there. That was one of the things I took away. I felt like the A, B, C gap runs were there. We kept trying to force it outside. I don't know why. It's almost like, it's not that Kyle Shanahan's stopping Christian McCaffrey from running through the A gaps, but it's just not there. Part of me thinks they're running away from Jake Brendel because he's just been so bad lately. I don't know. But then you put in Mason, you get two interior runs, comes out to 12 yards on back-to-back plays, you pull them, and you don't put them back in. Like, I felt like there were ways to exploit this defense, but it was up within the guards' kind of interior play. But we just stayed away from it. Like, what's your kind of assessment, or can you provide some context to why you think we're staying away from that?
You know, I don't know exactly why they're staying away from it. I do know that when they went to it, it wasn't a huge execution. Jordan Mason, you're right. They went 11 personnel. They had two big runs. He made great cuts on the play, and those were very successful. But then there were other opportunities they had in the running game, and they have one indirectly where they have a pistol formation, and Christian McCaffrey runs right up the middle. Jake Brendel and Dominic Pooney are working on a great double team. As long as Brendel gets off to the linebacker, this play is going to go for 12-plus. And Brendel just completely doesn't get to the second level and allows the linebacker to flow across his face and sit right there in the hole. And it goes from being what could have been explosive to a minimum game. So I think when Kyle sees those things, he's like, we've got to do something else. We got to manufacture something else. I think that's where it gets a little bit frustrating. But I do think they had a game plan in place with Jalen Moore to kind of attack that D-gap edge. And so I think that's why he kept sticking with it a little bit more than maybe he would have in previous games. But I think they just weren't executing in the middle.
Yeah, the tape was bad. And, you know, Sonia goes, okay, so if teams are not letting you get explosive runs, how do you adjust? Why aren't we making those adjustments? I think for Kyle, this is just, I'm assuming here, the play is working. The X's and O's works. We're right where we need to be. Now, they're running those 5-man D-line fronts and 8-man boxes. If you break through, then you keep going. We just didn't break through. They tackled well. We had so many missed blocks. We had so many false starts and whatever penalties that took away. And, you know, I want to also highlight this. Observe. I know you were lumping all the people together about fire Shanahan and all that stuff earlier. He says, quote, I don't know why, end quote, the excuses for Kyle are jokes at this point. I don't know. Observe, you just seem really, really angry, and that's okay. Like, this is a place for you to voice that and have like a conversation. I appreciate all the all caps. We hear you, but it's just like we're sitting here telling you why things didn't work. So I don't know. I don't know what you want, buddy, but that's okay. Like, if you have like a question about scheme or the tape, that's our job. I don't know Kyle Shanahan. I don't talk to Kyle Shanahan, and neither does Ant. We watch the tape and we tell you what we saw on the tape. That's what we do. That's what we see our job is. And we're sitting here telling you why those things didn't happen. It's not a scheme point. I'm telling you, it's not a scheme point. Now, the execution is bad. Missed cuts, missed runs, missed assignments, missed blocks, you name it. That's all there. The counters and the adjustments are built into the game plan. That's the Shanahan. That's what makes the Shanahan system so much better than other systems, is everything functions together. You talk about like a Kellen Moore, or you talk about who's the Washington coach, the young guy, Cliff Kingsbury. Like, they're just dart throwers. They draw a play up by itself and think that this should work against this coverage, and that's the end of it. Nothing is a counter upon a counter. Now, you can sit there and say, well, those offenses are doing really, really well. Well, have they had sustained success, and have they been fired multiple times? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. I think Shanahan got fired once, and that was at Washington. Everywhere else, everybody has wanted him. And he still, if Shanahan was fired again, which he shouldn't be, and I'm not saying you're saying that, Observe. I know you're frustrated with him, but Shanahan would be literally a top three coach if every coach was fired. Like, literally. Every single team would prefer him over Ben Johnson. I don't think there's one team that would take him, that would take Ben Johnson over Kyle. So, like, I don't know. Let's go to your next point and something that you saw on tape this past week that perhaps you didn't notice right off the bat.
I think it was how good Leonard Floyd was. You know, Leonard Floyd played really well in this football game, and, you know, he was getting pressure on the quarterback consistently. He almost had 2.5 sacks. He came flying over across and nearly got to Geno Smith at the goal line, which would have been a huge play. But we just saw a little bit more from him than I think we've seen in the past. I would still love for him to be able to finish even more, but a sack and a half in this football game, and I thought he put pressure off the edge, and the 49ers really needed that. And in the fourth quarter, when the game's on the line, it was actually him and Etor Gross-Matos that worked together, and he got a sack. And I thought that was huge. No Bosa, still get it done. And this is what we've been wanting from Leonard Floyd the whole time, so it was a good sign to see him have some success on the defensive line.
Yeah, I feel like there's quality players there. There's not a lot of difference makers. Like, your one difference makers, that's Bosa. And if he's going to be out, at least, good Lord, Leonard Floyd's finally putting up some quality tape. I thought I was pretty pissed when Etor Gross-Matos took over the Sam O role. I was a little hot, but he played well, man. He played really, really well. So I was really, really happy with seeing him out there. Now, and I feel like this was another issue. You're getting people playing their best play, like Etor Gross-Matos, like Leonard Floyd, like Devondre Campbell. But in the fourth quarter and on that late drive, all three of those left some glaring holes and missed assignments to allow that team to march down, 12-play, 80-yard drive touchdown? Like, the nuanced takes are never fun and don't get clicks and whatever else. It's so easy to say, oh, this person sucks or that person sucks. But Leonard Floyd played great. Devondre Campbell's played his best football. Kyle Shanahan said the same thing. I was echoing that whole time, but Devondre Campbell also had two terrible plays on both Geno runs and is responsible for that touchdown play. So it's hard because we watch the tape and it's like, man, we can finally have some confidence in Leonard Floyd, Devondre Campbell, Isaac Yiadom, but they're still giving these one or two plays out of 60 that are bad plays. So, like, is that coaching? Is it just the players we got and we just stick with it? Like, how do we address these guys that are dropping the ball at the most crucial moments? Are the 55 good plays better or worth more than the 5 terrible plays that cost us to lose the game at the end?
I think that there is a combination of that. And I think, you know, in reality, if a player's not going to, if he's going to continue to make mistakes, it falls on the coach, because the coach has to figure out how to either coach him up or, you know, figure out another player that they could put in or something like that. I think when it came down to that fourth quarter, I didn't have a problem with the way that the drive was handled initially. I think that when Geno Smith got into the 30-yard line, we saw them bring pressure, and they were able to throw the ball to Jackson Smith and Jigba when they brought Diamador on the blitz. I have no problem with Diamador Lenore coming on the blitz and the aggressiveness. In fact, I think the next play should have been as aggressive, sending linebackers and making him get rid of the football quickly, because if you tackle underneath, then the game potentially is over. So I think that's where Nick Sorensen really struggled, was at the final part of that drive. I think there were players that made mistakes because they lost pass rush lane integrity, number one. Devondre Campbell carried his guy too far inside. That's number two. But you're expecting a guy like Devondre Campbell to make the right play because he's been an all-pro and he's been in this league for a long time, and you're expecting him to do the right thing. So I can't blame Nick Sorensen for thinking that Devondre Campbell is going to do his job, and I'm guessing that came from the linebacker coach as well. He wants him on the field. So in this case, you just got a guy that failed, and it ends up costing the 49ers a game. But if I was going to say anything about Sorensen, it would be aggressive at the end of the game and put the onus on Geno Smith to win with his arm. And I just didn't think he did that at that last play.
I feel like Sorensen has three play calls. We're cover one man, we're cover three or quarters. That's it. Sometimes you can throw in a nickel blitz or a D-line stunt, but that's it. Like, to say this is a basic defense would be an understatement. I think it's literally the most elementary, basic, non-disguised defense in the NFL, maybe the past 5 or 6 years. And I know people are like, well, DeMeco did the same thing, Solid did the same thing. Not to this extent. Like, we're not even doing the double mug blitz look anymore at all. So right here, Rafael, what does the tape say about Fred? He hasn't been the defensive player of the year caliber guy that we saw the first half of the season. What is the tape telling you about Fred?
Well, I think part of what's kind of held Fred back for a little bit was the ankle injury. I think that was first off. But I think since then, he just hasn't had the turnovers. I think part of the conversation about him being a defensive player of the year was all the turnovers that he was creating, right, and the sudden changes. I think he's been consistent still. He's still going out there and playing pretty well and handling some tough matchups. It's just they're not all there for Fred right now. He's not being one of those guys that's making those flash plays, so he's kind of going unnoticed. But he's still playing well. He's not playing probably defensive player of the year well, but he's still playing, hey, this is a Pro Bowl, all pro caliber linebacker. Well, and he's still in there and run fits. He's still making the right calls. So I still like what Fred's doing, but yeah, it's not the level he was playing through the first, you know, six games of the season.
And I think too, like the hero ball, like Fred's done this in the past too, where there's a repeating problem, coverage, whatever else, Fred's going to do his job plus. And that's not always a good thing. That's a bad thing. Now, real quick, before we switch to the second part of our show, if you're going to bet this year, MyBookie's the place to do it. You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino, if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right. This week, let's look forward. You got the 7-3 Green Bay Packers. It's snowing today up there in Lambeau. It's going to be cold. Now, it's supposed to be sunny the day of the game, but you're on the road. In a very hostile environment, it's cold. They have a lot of hope. If the playoffs started today, the Packers would be in. Solid team, not a great team. You know, they've got a top 10 offense. Their defense just outside the top 10. What are some things you're hoping to see against this, you know, Green Bay Packers team?
Well, I think first off, the 49ers got to figure out how to establish a running game. This has been something that they've struggled with over the last 2 weeks. Tampa Bay, we know they loaded the box pretty consistently and really made it a concerted effort to take away the running game. With Seattle, they played a lot more light boxes and let the 49ers have opportunities to run the ball, and they missed out on those opportunities. Those are fails for the 49ers offense. So they got to get that running game going. That will really marry things together. Now, Mike McDonald did a great job of figuring out when the 49ers were going to run boots, and he was bringing blitzes off the backside. That was a really nice look from him. So they've got to figure out how to get that back in the game. So I think it's one of those things where you got to get back to basics. And for the 49ers, it means executing on the ground because they want to keep Green Bay's offense off the field as much as possible. And it's not easy to convert on third down against the Green Bay Packers, who get off the field at 36% of the time. They don't allow you first downs on third. So I think the 49ers need a lot of third and short situations and not so many third and longs. And please, no penalties. Penalties are what have killed them, especially over the last week or so.
You know, I do think it's kind of funny, like looking at the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, LaFleur, Shanahan, a lot of history. Their defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, was with the Niners when Shanahan first was here. There's so many similarities. Even if you look at the Packers offensive line, you got Zach Tom, who's a stud right tackle, and then just a bunch of guys. Now, Elton Jenkins has been great. I don't think he's been great recently. We've got one stud offensive lineman. I would say two now, but then just some guys. Like, these teams really are mirrored concepts of each other. They spent a lot at the wide receiver position. We spent more than anybody ever in the history of the football on the wide receiver position. So it really is kind of a test of, look, we're both building the same way. We both run the same offense and defensive type of schemes. Who's going to do it better? The 49ers have kind of had the Packers, you know, number lately. Do you expect that to continue? I know the 49ers were 2-point underdogs now. The line's kind of moving back down to a pick 'em game. How do you feel about this game just overall?
Well, I think you got two teams that are actually in two different scenarios. I know Green Bay is sitting more comfortable with the record. I feel like the 49ers are a wounded animal. You know, their back's against the wall. They're in playoff mode right now. This is playoffs for the 49ers. So I think in that case, they know this is do or die. If they lose this game, they have a 15% chance of making the playoffs. So it's one of those things where it changes their mindset completely. And you're right. There's a mirrored concept there. And I think there's a mindset from Kyle Shanahan that he has an advantage over LaFleur. LaFleur got him one time, really. But for the most part, especially when it comes to playoff time and big time games, the 49ers have found ways to win. They're going to have to figure it out in this one. And it's not going to be easy. Green Bay just hangs around and hangs around and hangs around. And sometimes they get you. And so I do think they're a flawed team. They have places you can take advantage of, but can you make sure you do? Because last week, the 49ers did not take advantage of the situations where they had an advantage, and that's not good. So they got to go out and execute against Green Bay, but this is a winnable game when you look at it toe-to-toe, stat-to-stat, player-to-player.
Yeah, the Packers haven't blown anybody really out. They've been at 7 one-score games, right? There's only been 10 games, but they're winning them. And they're winning them consistently. The 49ers are the exact opposite. They've been in a lot of one-score games as well. But outside of the Bucs, really, we have found ways to lose them. So you have to kind of buck that trend some. And at some point, like, if you want to make a run in the playoffs, I feel like the channeling the Mora playoffs, like, you have to learn how to beat teams at the end of games. Our defense has been the worst in the NFL, actually third worst in the NFL in the fourth quarter. At some point, that's got to change. Now, Sonia, I love this question. What adjustments are happening if Bosa's out? He didn't practice yesterday. So you're Chris Kucerik, you're Nick Sorensen. I wish you were. I would hire you over both of them. What game plan? Is it just simple, rotate all of your defensive ends? Is it that simple, or do you have something else more complex that you would want to bring to the game against the Packers?
Yeah, I think the first thing I would do is I would find situations where I could bring in a linebacker up off the edge, give a little extra support, especially in the run game when you go four-man front. And then I would like to see some twists and stunts. If you're going to have, you know, some of these guys like Leonard Floyd and Sam Okawanu and Etor Gross-Matos, you can put them on the inside and really run some twists and blitz or some moves that will help you. Show blitzes like you talked about earlier with the double-A blitz. Show that bail late. Let Fred Warner come with a blitz sometimes. I think you could kind of mess them up a little bit with some looks up front. That would help with your defensive line pass rush, because without Nick Bosa, they don't have to slide protect his way. They don't have to chip. They don't have to help, which means they can kind of play this straight and kind of help, you know, whoever they want to help at certain plays. So I think that the 49ers are going to have to come with something unique, something different, but they can do it. They have the ability. They just got to be a little bit more creative if Nick Bosa is not on the field.
Yeah. And again, Bosa said, you know, they just got to kind of wait and see that it's not the same injury that he's had in the past. It's much higher. So that's better news than just the quote unquote oblique or rib or whatever you want to call it. So we got to wait and see. Now, flip side, and somebody put this comment earlier. I think I started, at least I hope I did. Yeah, right here. Shout out to Trevor over on Twitter. He says, is Kittle the center point of the offense? Seems like the offense is way better with him on the field. I feel like he is. I feel like he's the most important not named Brock Purdy guy. We all assumed when Christian McCaffrey would come back, red zone would be fixed. You know, everything else would be fixed. The yards have been there all year. But, man, with Kittle out, run game looked pedestrian. Pass game looked pedestrian. I really do feel like not only is Kittle having an all-pro season despite missing some time, this team is not the same team when 85 is not out there.
Yeah, I think it just goes to show how much he adds to the football team. The matchups in the game versus Seattle would have changed tremendously. I mean, they were putting Love out on Christian McCaffrey and helping guard him with a safety when if George Kittle's in the game, you can't cover him with Tyrese Knight, the linebacker. So it changed up the matchups a lot, and that changes up how you go about attacking on offense. But what can't be forgotten is how good George Kittle is blocking on the edge and the fact that he can handle defensive ends. That's something Eric Saubert can't do. That's something that Kyle Juszczyk can't do consistently. They try, and Juszczyk will get it done sometimes, but George Kittle can do it all the time. You need pass protection, he's got you. You need a big-time route, he's got you. And he has been the most consistent player in the red zone all season. So I think that George Kittle was definitely missed, and I think this offense has been running through George Kittle since we lost Brandon Ayuk. I think that they looked at Kittle and said, all right, this is our guy. And they've been going with it. Now, Juwan Jennings being back, that definitely helps. I know Brock Purdy feels comfortable with him, but this team goes with 85, and 85 being out there on the field against Green Bay could be huge for this offense.
Yeah, I think that's huge. Now, speaking of the offense, if you don't activate John Feliciano this week, he is shut down for the rest of the year. The 21-day practice window is expiring, so if you don't activate him, he's shut down. We know how much Chris Forster loves Jake Brendel. Nobody else that watches the tape feels that way. Analytics don't feel that way. Tape watchers don't feel that way. Fans don't feel that way. Let's start simple. Is John Feliciano at least going to be activated to the 53-man roster this week?
Yeah, I think he is. You know, I think they waited this thing out as long as they could, make sure there was no other injuries before they potentially move on from a guy like Ben Bartsch, because I don't think they really want to lose him. But I think that they were just, you know, waiting. If an injury happened, well, then you make a decision there and you bring Feliciano back in that place. But I do believe that they're going to activate John Feliciano because he is the, I mean, me and you would argue, right, he should be one of the top five offensive linemen out there on the field. But in any world, he's at least number six. He's better than Nick Sakel. He's better than Ben Bartsch. He's better, you know, than everybody else. So I think he's going to get activated. But they've been playing this thing out. They've been waiting for sure.
Man, I really hope we get to see him. Let him play somewhere. I don't care where. Anybody besides Pooney, he's better than. I really do think. Now, how he responds to the injury, we didn't get to see him much at training camp. You have to alter those expectations with somebody that's 30-plus years old. However, that dude, when he went down to the Super Bowl, the game changed. It changed. And so center, left guard, shoot, you want to put him at tackle? I don't give a damn. Get him out there. I really, really want to see him play. I just hope they give him a chance. Like, I have no clue what people like Ronnie Bell and Jake Brendel and, you know, have on this coaching staff just to never be removed and to be completely safe despite not playing well consistently. And I consider myself a pretty positive guy, especially whenever it comes to players and football and all those things. Man, it's just been bad on bad on bad. Yeah, there's been, you know, six good quarters and whatever else, but just week in and week out and just saying like, oh, yeah, it's not close. We're sticking with Jake Brendel. I don't know. I don't understand it. Now, next question. The Packers throw the ball deep. 70% deep balls to over 20 yards, air yards traveled. 17% of their passes. Jordan Love's got a 110 passer rating whenever chunking it deep. They've got wide receivers galore. They've got like five guys that they really, really like. What type of coverages do you want to see? Because, again, we do a lot of cover one, we do cover three, and quarters. Those are kind of our three main whatever. Are you changing anything? Are you going to run one coverage more than the other? Because it's kind of been a third, a third, a third. So how would you game plan the defensive secondary against the Packers this week?
Yeah, I think it would just depend on personnel. You know, if you're going to get some sort of a base look, you know, a two tight end set, which they will run sometimes, then let's stick in our cover one or our cover three. And if you're going to get something where they spread it out, 11 personnel, we might need to go cover three and then quarters and just kind of mix it up depending on situation. You got second and long. Let's go ahead and run our quarters and try to play it down in distance. I think He actually did a pretty good job last week with Seattle as far as the basics of coverage. There was no disguising, which I know I would have loved a lot more because of Geno getting confused. So I would like to see a little bit of that. But I think they have felt content with allowing these quarterbacks to throw the ball underneath. They've been playing off coverage and not allowing explosives. And I think that's a really big part of this game, is not allowing explosives to Christian Watson and Dontavian Wicks and those playmakers who can get the ball downfield and make plays. So I think it will be that. Even though I don't know how much cover one we will see in the whole game, we know we're going to see it on third down sometimes. And I would love for them. One of my biggest things, John, is for the 49ers to get out of it when they're in bunch sets. When Green Bay comes to bunch sets, it's time to just go away from man. It hasn't worked. We have too many, you know, guys running into each other. Renardo Green this week almost ran into Deamara Lenore, and it created a first down for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I think they've got to just check into zone. And I know that's not always the greatest thing, but check into zone against bunch and just don't allow that to be a hindrance, especially on third down.
It's hilarious anytime, because we telegraph we're in man from the huddle break, and they're like, oh, let's motion. Oh, yeah, we're going bunch. Like every single team. Like, oh, they're in man. Yeah, let's go bunch trips or bunch tray every single time. And we just sit there just like holding on to our seats. We're not making any second checks. We're not doing any of those things. I don't even know if that's in this defense under Sorensen. It's literally a middle school defense at this current. Like, we really ran more coverages like at the high school level than they are currently. Now, Shanahan wants to keep it simple, but you're still keeping it simple. There's still busts everywhere. So, like, if you keep it simple and you run it efficiently, that's one thing. We're still not doing that. It's week 11. Jabroni, appreciate the chat. He says, who throws more picks, Brock or Love? Well, I can tell you over on betting sites, I put a bet in today for Jordan Love to throw an interception. Now, it's not positive money. I think if you bet 10, you get 8 back. But he's got 11 interceptions, tied for the most in the NFL currently. You go back to the last time the 49ers played the Packers, he threw two second half interceptions, both to Dre Greenlaw. I don't think Devondre Campbell could do that, but he has turned the ball over and put the ball in jeopardy consistently. Now, with us running such a vanilla defense, I do think we have some ball hawks out there. When Brock throws an interception, we almost always lose. Whenever he's clean, we win every single game. So I'll turn this to you. Jabroni's question, who throws more picks, Brock or Love? I'm going to go, I want to say probably 1-1.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it feels like, a wash, because if you look at Green Bay, they create a lot of turnovers. They're top three in the league as far as creating turnovers. So they usually do get their hands on the football. I'm hoping that we see a Brock Purdy that takes care of the football, because if we do, and he doesn't turn over the ball, we know they have a really good chance to win. But with that being said, I think Brock Purdy has been trying to be too careful with the football lately and has left some passes and throws out there on the field. So I want the more aggressive Brock Purdy that's going to go make things happen, because this team can't survive if he's not out there making plays for this football team. He missed some key throws. So I think it's going to be close. I think you could be right. It could be 1-1. I do know this. If Jordan Love throws more interceptions than Brock Purdy, the 49ers will win, and vice versa. If Brock throws more picks, the Packers will win. It's going to come down to taking care of the football, but also you got to take those shots when they're there.
Yeah, let it rip, man. And both these teams are one-score teams. Like, that's just been the case. They've got 7. I think we have 6. It's just one-score games nonstop. So with them being so similar, coaching trees, know each other, it's going to be close. It's going to be super close. Sonia, any word on Ward, Charvarius Ward? I saw he was limited at practice. Yeah, he missed 2.5 weeks. And so Shanahan talked about this yesterday, how we're going to see the football shape he's in. You know, being a corner, you take 2.5 weeks off, which nobody's faulting him of that. Kyle Shanahan's not faulting him of that. We're not either with what he's going through. But, like, you're about to play one of the fastest wide receivers in the NFL in Christian Watson. Like, one of the fastest. So if you're not in complete corner shape, man, let's just take a week off and you come back next week. You got to see what he is. So he was limited yesterday. You rush those speed guys back. That's where you get hamstrings. That's where you get calf strains. That's where you get those things. So we don't know. You got to see if he can get some full practices in. I hope he dresses. We're better with him. We do have great corner depth, though. Like, I have confidence in Isaac Yiadom. Is he as good as Charvarius Ward? No, he is not. But he's not a bad corner. as cornerback number three. And going against these wide receivers, obviously you want him to be out there, but now right here, Lee, Nick Sakel, just a failed experiment at this time. What are your thoughts on Nick Sakel?
I don't think so. I mean, he was a sixth-round pick, and he's out there as a backup player for your football team, and I think that's how it goes sometimes. You can't always expect these guys to end up being starters. I know we had a lot of high hopes for him that he could develop into a center, and a lot of that's because we wanted to replace Jake Brendel with somebody that was going to be better. But I think that Nick Sakel got a lot better from last year to this year. He definitely got better. Training camp preseason definitely showed that. They haven't needed to call on him to play. Look at a guy like Spencer Burford, who used to start a lot of football games. He hasn't played a lot this season either. I think with offensive linemen, you don't want the backups to play. So I don't think it's a failed experiment. I think it's a guy that's going to be depth probably until the end of his contract, and then they'll reevaluate. But sixth-round pick coming in and being depth on your offensive line, I think that's to be expected.
Yeah, it's weird. There's I don't think a sixth-round pick could really be a bust. Like, you even look at who'd we draft this year, the guard out of Washington State that played with Mike Leach. Kingston. We cut him. Kingston, Jared Kingston. You can go back to Tariq Castro Fields or whatever. Sixth-round picks are sixth-round picks. Now, the third-round pick misses, that's huge. And especially, this week, I talked about this earlier. Zach Tom's one of my favorite players in the NFL. I think right tackle is the most talent-devoid position in the NFL. There's just not a lot of good right tackles. I think he's incredible. Well, he was a fourth-round pick in the 2022 draft. We took Spencer Burford, Ty Davis Price, and Danny Gray all ahead of him. All ahead of him. And it's just man, we could have... And you could always play this game in the draft. I understand that. But, that is a top-five right tackle that you got in the fourth-round pick. Meanwhile, we're drafting kickers in the third round, man. Kickers! How do I always end up here? I need to go to some, therapy, and, I got to get this out. And, again, it's not a Jake Moody thing. It's just you don't draft kickers in the third round. Here's my picture, whenever they announced the kick. Shout out to Brian Carter 99. I was a little hot. I was a little upset that day, not going to lie. So it's what it is. So now, anything else that you want to see, perhaps that we haven't touched yet, moving forward against the Packers this week?
Yeah, I think they need to take advantage on offense of getting Christian and McCaffrey the ball on those extended run plays. We saw the little swing pass screen type play. I love that a lot. They ran it twice. One of them got called back because of Ricky Pearsall not being on the line of scrimmage. That was a huge call in the game and a huge play in the game. That was huge, but they ran it again to the other side and it worked well. And we've seen the 49ers do this a lot with Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel, and it just forced a defense to kind of spread horizontally to have to cover those guys. And I like that because then that's going to create some open windows for Brock to throw the ball over the middle of the field if they need to do that. And then you just send those guys out there and it just automatically spreads the defense out horizontally. You get some better windows for your playmakers in the middle of the field. So I like that part of the game against Green Bay. I think they could do some of that, take some of the pressure off the pass protection and also some of the pressure off Brock after throwing to tight windows.
Yeah, there we go. I love it, man. Hey, this is a winnable game. And I know coming off a loss like this is what we started. Somebody, one of the comments was, it takes me a full week to get over a loss. Us as well. It sucks. But that's the NFL. These teams are good. The 49ers are at 500. You're average right now. Do we have an average roster? I do not believe so. The injuries and stuff have played a factor. Poor coaching has played a factor. Offense, defense, special teams. Shanahan's included in that as well. You've got to, at some point, if you want to play with the big boys this year, you got to handle it. You got to go out there and do it. And, I want to play this real quick clip. Christian McCaffrey was asked in training camp, how long the 49ers championship window is going to be open? Here was his response.
I don't know. I know we got a window this year. That's all I know. So I'm focused on this year and taking it, one day at a time, 1 week at a time, 1 year at a time.
You think it's open? You got to keep that damn thing open. Sometimes you got to kick it open. And right now, that window's shutting. We're over here talking wild card and, man, tiebreakers, and we're in week 11. Players got to play. Coaches got to coach. And whenever they both don't do that successfully, you're at a 5-5 team with a superior roster. And that is the issue. Can they fix that moving forward? nothing like beating the Packers. We've done it our entire, like, the franchise history. You beat the Packers. That's what you do. So you go out there, you handle the business, and then you move forward. That's what you got to do. So, Ant, any closing remarks before we end the show, bud?
That's a must win. Go out there and get it done. Execute, like you said. And wouldn't it be the best time for the 49ers to show up and play 60 minutes of the best football that they've played all year? And if they don't, you know, and they lose, well, this is entirely on them. You know, they just didn't get it done. This is, they'll understand that this was their fault. But, you know, they've got the potential. You bring it up, the roster, it's there. They can win this football game. The Green Bay Packers are not an unbeatable team. They just got to go out there and get it done. And that's saying a lot.
Let's get it done. You guys are the best. Really appreciate everybody, all the support. Make sure you check out 40 Hours Cutback. He's got Madden Simulation tomorrow. He's got Preview on Saturday, post-game show, which is always awesome. Ant, you are the best. Thank you for allowing me to spend some time with you and learn football. That's what I'm here for. I'm trying to learn along with everybody else watching. But for everybody at home, appreciate you guys. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.